Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 21st of August, and I'm recording at 9:58 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, here are the highlights here right now. This is a weak and choppy period for stock markets, something that Fuller Money has been forecasting now for several months, and we're certainly well into it at this stage. Now, what I would summarize as some of the key points here is at first this is we had the very high valuations following the big run-up from the November lows of last year, which carried well into this year. A lot of overextensions relative to the rising 200-day moving averages, which represent trend means, and that's always a warning of danger and big reactions ahead. We have had the weak economic growth globally, and some deflationary pressures. We have seen something of a currency meltdown in parts of the Asian Pacific region that actually started with Japan, and that was an intentional devaluation because the yen had been much too strong for many, many years, at least 15. But more recently, we've seen India in a bit of economic turmoil, promising lots of subsidies and not really addressing the infrastructure problems, and also the Indonesian rupee's been quite soft as well. There are various crises in the Middle East to be concerned about, and Egypt's really sort of the cornerstone for developments there very often, and you know the uncertainty in Sinai. And there are plenty of, I would describe them as small terrorist organizations gathering there. And we also have uncertainty over the timing of the quantitative easing tapering. Okay, other highlights, the U.S. 10-year yield had a new closing high in here today. That's government bond yield, of course. It closed above the 2.89% level. And of course, that represents a degree of monetary tightening that is not caused by, or at least not caused intentionally, by the Fed. But those higher interest rates are, of course, also pushing up interest rates, long government bond interest rates around the rest of the world. And that is having a slowing effect on a somewhat weak economy. For instance, I just look at the screen here, the top news developments, and right up at the top is the United States' biggest bank is Wells Fargo. And it's said to slash, headline is it said to slash 2,300 mortgage-related jobs as lending slows. Well, lending slows because, of course, those interest rates are moving up. Now, elsewhere, we have some interesting action in commodities, but I'll come on to that a little bit later. First, let's just have a quick look through the action here today on stock markets. In the Asian Pacific region, that actually did best, but the declines were the bigger moves. Japan was a fraction higher, under a quarter of a percent. Mainland China had some very modest gains, but the Hang Seng in that's Hong Kong was a little bit lower. We saw New Zealand was up again here today, nearly 1%, and Jakarta, which Indonesia, which had seen a sharp fall, and that was also up 1%. But India, in a bit of turmoil here right now, and good article that I've posted here today, one of the editorial comments from the Bloomberg service, just saying that India needs to bring forward its general election. I couldn't agree more, of course. And I've written about that several times over the last few weeks. Now, in the European stock markets, well, we saw declines across the boards in Europe, and looks like Sweden had the bigger one, down 1.69%, but the UK down nearly 1%. What I would say is that, especially in the Eurozone countries, that they had terrific gains, really from the June period throughout at least the first 2 weeks of August, and we're quite overextended overall, so we're seeing some pullbacks and consolidations there. But the important point is that they haven't stopped yet. And on Wall Street, well, it was a really choppy day here with the Fed news coming out. We had the Dow in a 140-point range swing. Okay, that's not massive, but I'll post an intraday chart on that so you can see what's going on. It's very nervous conditions here overall. And Canada was down, Mexico down about 0.75 point each. So soft action. Now, in the government bonds, the yields were down early in the day, but then pushed up across the board. So that's the United States, that's the UK, that's Europe. And no doubt elsewhere around the world, we've also seen the same thing, although I'm looking at the futures charts here. So I don't see that actual action, but we can bet that if they didn't, those yields didn't push up today, that they will tomorrow in response to what we've seen on Wall Street here today. The US dollar has firmed a bit. That had been quite soft. And I just want to look at a chart of that because I have been mentioning, I think, that it's down near some prior support. That's quite important. The June low was important, and we've been testing it here recently. But my view on the dollar is that it is somewhat oversold here. That's the dollar index, though. That's mainly against the European currencies. And we have seen, for instance, here today, with the dollar firmer, the euro has given up a little ground, 133.54. Sterling, well, not much changed, 156.54. And the big action, as I've already mentioned, is in that Asia Pacific region, especially India. Now, what we can see from precious metals here today, we have gold down nearly $5, 1366, and palladium down 6, platinum a little softer. These had such good rallies. Platinum's back to 519, and those rallies have spilled over now into little corrective phases. My guess is that they will pull back into a little bit of base extension activity. And also, we have to watch the dollar because a rally in the US dollar would pull down the dollar prices of these precious metals. My guess is that we'll get a combination of both those things happening, and that will make the precious metals, particularly gold and silver, buys when the short-term indicators move. Short-term stochastic indicators move from overbought to oversold. It can happen quite quickly, and it's something that I will follow closely myself. I should also mention, just a quick step back to stock markets, that we have plenty of short-term oversold conditions, The big one that worries me the most, though, is in terms of overall influence, is Wall Street. It certainly won't get the biggest move to the downside. It never does. But it will create a headwind for all other stock markets, and it's only down about 4% here so far. So we could easily see this pull back further in this mean reversion process towards the rising 200-day MA. Oil prices, the WTI, that's the U.S. contract, that fell again here today. That's good news, down 1.26 to 103.85. But as I've said on a number of occasions, I won't really feel comfortable about it until I see it back below the $100 level where I think it should be. And I think speculation drove the price higher, and it's not hard to find reasons why that might be the case, given the political developments, the battles that are going on in the Middle East. And industrial metals softer in here today. They overall, though, look like they have been in a support building program and have bottomed out. That's certainly my feeling at this stage, but we can see some pullbacks and base extension activity in here over the near term. And a point that I'll also drop back to the stock markets here once again. I'm taking those oversold indicator positions. I don't regard that so much as a buying opportunity. I think if we get rallies in here, and I think we will before too long, that those would be opportunities to lighten positions if you're inclined to do that rather than riding out what I think will be a turbulent period for the lengthy medium term. Could be at least a number of months. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.